Grace and peace be unto you from God our Father, and from our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening's meditation and application to our daily faith life is found recorded in Paul's letter to the Ephesians, chapter 1, verses 15 to 23. Therefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. So far, sermon text. May be seated. In Christ Jesus, our ascended and ever-ruling Lord and Savior, your fellow redeemed. Ascension Day is a cause for great celebration and for tremendous comfort for God's people here on earth. Yet we would suppose that it would be just the opposite. The disciples, that they would be filled with tears and sadness and sorrow and grief and loneliness. Jesus is gone. His visible presence had been removed from this earth. They could see Him no longer. No longer could they walk and talk with Him. No longer could they hear His voice speaking to them. Such parting and leaving, you would think, would cause many tears. No doubt those 40 days must have gone awfully fast. From that first Easter evening when they saw Jesus alive again, and they were just getting used to having Him around, and suddenly, He's gone. And yet, as we heard in our scripture readings, when He departed into heaven and ascended, they were filled with joy, and they returned to Jerusalem praising God with joy and happiness. And so we can celebrate this ascension. Why? Why do we and the disciples celebrate the ascension of our Lord? Because we and they knew what our ascended Lord would do, has done, and is still doing. He did send the Comforter of the Holy Spirit. He is preparing our eternal inheritance in heaven for us, and He is ruling everything in this world for our eternal good. Our text this evening is really a prayer from the Apostle Paul. We know all of this about our Savior because this text is really the rest of the story of Jesus' ascension. It's a prayer. In the English, it's 9 verses. In the Greek, it's one long sentence. And as these verses compound each other, Paul adds on more glory and more grandeur to the Lord, building to a climax the glory of the ascended Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And in this prayer, he's telling us the rest of the ascension story of Jesus. In so doing, he tells us that our ascended Lord helps His believers grow in faith, and our ascended Lord uses His power on behalf of His church. We read again verses 16 and 17 of our sermon text. I do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the kingdom in the knowledge of Him. Paul is grateful for all that God has done for these Christians. Not only have they been brought to faith, but Paul says you're staying in the faith. But to stay in the faith and being in the faith means that you might become stagnant. And Paul doesn't want that to happen. So he encourages them to continue in the faith so their faith would continue to grow. How to do that? With the spirit of wisdom and revelation. By the time Paul wrote these words to the Ephesians, our sin of the Lord had already fulfilled his promise. The Holy Spirit had come already on Pentecost, had filled the disciples with the ability to speak in different languages and the boldness to go out and to proclaim the gospel message. And it's only because of the Holy Spirit that these people to whom Paul was writing were also believers in Jesus Christ through the work of the Spirit in his word. And Paul in our text now is asking that the Holy Spirit would continue to instruct and guide and teach them so that they, as they walk to heaven, they would grow in this faith. Paul says the Holy Spirit is the source of all real truth. He is indeed the revealer of wisdom and truth. The Holy Spirit reveals the Word, and in the Word he tells us who God is and what this God has done for us sinners. These Ephesian Christians no doubt had the Old Testament scriptures. They had this inspired letter from Paul. Perhaps they had other New Testament writings that had been written by this time that they read in their worship services. Paul is saying that even as you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, now continue to grow in that wisdom. Continue to grow in that knowledge. They knew the true triune God. They knew Jesus Christ. But Paul says, I want you to know him better. The word for knowledge literally means to know thoroughly. The better we know God and his great love for us, the more content we are. The more confident we are. The more that we know Jesus Christ's great love for us and his sacrifice on the cross, his resurrection, his ascension to heaven, what that means for us, the more peace and joy we have in our daily lives. The better we know our God and his will for us, the more we'll strive by the Holy Spirit to live a God-pleasing life. So that's our prayer on this Ascension Day as well. Lord, give us the Holy Spirit, and so strengthen our faith. Move us to sink our hearts deeper and deeper into your word, for then and only then can we come to know you better and better. Your word alone is the source of our wisdom. Your word alone is the source of our truth. Your word alone is the source of all knowledge that we have. And as we learn to know you better, the more spiritually mature we'll be, the more content we'll be, the more confident we'll be, the more courageous we'll be to live for the Lord, the more at peace we'll be. As the Spirit leads us to know our Father's love for sinners better, the more we want to tell other sinners about that great love. As the Spirit leads us to know our Savior's love more for us, the more we'll grow in grace and knowledge that we can become more than conquerors over all the trials and all the problems of this life and do all things through Christ who strengthens us. We read in verse 18 of our text, Paul continues with his prayer, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. The hope of God's calling is certain. It's not shaky. This hope is centered in the promises of God. It's a sure knowledge that one day we will receive what God has promised to us, even though we don't have it yet, and that is everlasting life in heaven. God didn't leave our salvation up to chance or fate. He planned every single minute detail. He planned to send his Son from heaven to this earth to become a human being just like you and I, to the Incarnation, being conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary. This God-man, son of his, then was placed under the law to keep every single commandment of God, all the Old Testament ceremonies of God, perfectly for you and for me. The Father then took this perfect son of his and sacrificed him and damned him for us, so that we would have the forgiveness of every single one of our sins, that every single soul of every single person ever conceived would have his sins paid for in full. And the Father then raised his Son to everlasting life, assuring us of a victory over sin, death, Satan, and hell, and of a resurrection to eternity. And on the 40th day after his resurrection, having accomplished our redemption, our salvation, the Son ascended back to his heavenly home. Our redemption, our salvation, our reconciliation has been made complete through Jesus Christ. This hope, literally in our English, would be the assurance, is also includes the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Heaven is an inheritance. It's a gift. A free gift of God. It's God's gift of grace to all those who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And what a glorious inheritance it is. We're told the old order of things will pass away. There will be no more death, no more sorrow, no more tears, no more crying, no more pain. We'll no longer have to fight against Satan and his temptations. We'll no longer be buffeted by the temptations of this world or be attacked by our own sinful flesh. We'll stand perfect, just like Christ, forever. That's our hope. That's our confidence. That's our assurance in the ascended Lord. Our second point is our ascended Lord uses his power on behalf of his church. We read verses 19 and 20. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe? According to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places. Our hope of this glorious inheritance in heaven is secure. It is secure because of the exceeding greatness of his power. God's power is not only seen in creation when God just said, let there be, and everything showed up and appeared. It's also seen in our Savior's resurrection. It's seen when a person is being brought to faith in Jesus Christ. That anyone believes is a miracle of regeneration. It's a miracle of God's powerful word working in the heart of the individual, taking this spiritually dead heart and creating in it a living faith. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, and you he made alive who were dead in trespasses and sins, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together, and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That our spiritually dead hearts were made alive in Christ Jesus is a miracle. A miracle of the regeneration of the Holy Spirit upon our hearts. A miracle of God's almighty power. That the cold, dead body of Jesus would be resurrected on Easter Sunday morning is a miracle of God's almighty power. And that power of God is at work in your heart, in my heart, every day of our lives through his word. What an amazing thought. The almighty power of God is in your heart and mine through his word. Does that tell us? It tells us several things. One, he unleashes that power when he strengthens our faith through the means of grace, the gospel, word, and sacrament. He unleashes that power when we grow understanding of his will by studying his word. He unleashes that power when he helps us to do his will, as difficult as that may be. And he unleashes that power when he strengthens us in times of temptation and we're able to bear up under the persecutions and sufferings of this world. And he unleashes that power when he empowers us to go out and to tell others about our Savior Jesus Christ and tell them that their sins are forgiven. And he gives us the strength to stand up under the physical and emotional burdens of this life. May we through the Spirit see that power of Christ ruling in our hearts day by day. It's all because Jesus ascended to heaven and is sitting at the right hand of God. And of course we all know that doesn't mean that he's sitting at God's physical, literal right hand, because God has no right hand. That's an expression that means he has now all authority and all power. He now has come to rule all things. Control of everything. Paul puts it this way in our text. He ascended far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet. Jesus has all power in heaven and earth. He rules over the eternal evil kingdom of Satan. He rules over all the evil kingdoms of this world. He rules over nature, time. He rules over the whole world. He rules in the hearts of every single one of his children. And he rules over everything for the welfare of his church, his believers. Paul again writes, and gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus uses his authority and uses his power for the welfare, the well-being of his church of believers. He watches over us. He protects us from all of our enemies. He daily adds to his church the preaching of the gospel message through Jesus Christ. And by sharing that gospel message with others, he strengthens our faith and keeps us steadfast in this church unto eternity. He gives us pastors and teachers to teach and to preach to the sheep so that they can go and continue to preach to other sheep and bring more sheep into this kingdom of Christ. You and I and all believers are the body of Christ. It's another amazing thought. Not only that we have the almighty power of God in us through the Word, but we're the body of Christ. Not by necessity. Jesus didn't need a spiritual body. But simply by grace. He chose us to be part of his own spiritual body so that we could take part in proclaiming the good news of our Savior to others, to add others to his body, to proclaim the good news of salvation, so we're all built up in Christ Jesus. Did you catch that play on words at the end, very last verse of ours? Paul says, we, the church of believers, are the fullness of Christ. But Christ is the one who fills all in all. The church, the believers, fill out Christ, while Christ fills everything. So what is the rest of the story of Jesus' ascension? Having ascended on high, Jesus sent his Holy Spirit into this world as a special gift upon the disciples on Pentecost, but also as the one to proclaim the good news of salvation to others, to work in their hearts and lead them to repentance and to faith in Christ Jesus. He has filled us with a sure and certain hope and assurance of everlasting life in heaven. He fills all things. He rules all things. He controls all things for the welfare of his church. We see that every day in our own individual lives and in the life of this Christian congregation as God bestows his grace upon us, showering us with his mercies. What great comfort and what great confidence we have as we eagerly look forward to our Savior's reappearing. He'll come again to take us to be with Him throughout eternity. Amen. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds centered in our ascended Savior Jesus Christ. Amen.